Well, here we are. We're sitting in the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers, and that means this is Radio Entrepreneurs, and it's our special edition on the record. That means our co-host is Mark Furman. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Jeffrey. Great to be with you, and very much looking forward to our next guest.
You know, I have to do a little commercial about this guest, and I, you know, as a entrepreneurial advisor, it's hard to believe over all these years, I've worked with over 700 companies, and people ask me all the time about what it takes to sort of coach people or advise people. And I always say, you're only as good as your client. You put a great advisor with a lousy client, you're going to get lousy advice. And I said, but you put a mediocre consultant with a really smart client, and you're going to look like a smart consultant. And I can say, without a doubt, after all these years, that Chris McKenzie is one of the smartest and brightest and most honorable people I ever had the privilege to work with. And I'm so glad we finally got him on the show. He's market managing partner for Massachusetts RSM, and we're also going to get into a little side business as well. So I hope you didn't mind that little introduction, Chris, because I'm a fan.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. It's been a very long journey, and it's been a while since we've worked together. It was a very interesting period in my life from a business perspective. And Jeffrey, you were very helpful in helping us move forward and ultimately, being a part of a regional CPA firm and joining forces with a national CPA firm has really been transformational, not just for me and, where that has led me, but also for, the nearly 800 people that we have in Boston today.
800 people.
800 people, 12,000 people across the United States, 41,000 people across the world.
So that is a transformation.
It is a transformation. Considering I was employee number 14 in 1984 of Vitaly Catarano and Company, and now I'm responsible for the third largest office for RSM, it's just a remarkable journey and, quite challenging, but very much rewarding.
Well, I think of two things. One, the talent that you have had that's come through your building must be amazing and through your offices, and then the retention of that talent and the building of the kind of organization that can do that. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I was just in a meeting this morning. I've got a next-gen leadership team, and I call it the OMP Roundtable, so the Office Managing Partner Roundtable. And they're all like our senior managers and directors that have partner path capabilities. So we think that they're going to get to the level that, myself and the other 60 partners we have in Boston have achieved. And, when I sit back and look at the landscape here in Boston, it's all about people. And everybody knows that, right? And so you've got to be able to compete very differently in the market space. And it's not all about compensation, though compensation has a big impact on it. And I look across the landscape and see all of the development that's occurring in Boston. I think about people all the time. And, this morning, we have three priorities that we covered. People, people, and people. And retention's a big part. Talent acquisition is a huge part. Because the competitors, it's really not, when I look across the landscape, it's like the competitors, we really compete against the Big Four, BDO, and Grant Thornton. But there's another whole landscape of competitors. And it's all of these, tech companies, life science companies, financial service companies. And they're looking for talent. And talent is, the demand exceeds the supply significantly.
Exactly.
And so we have to figure out how do we live in the Boston ecosystem and thrive as an organization, as a large office. And it's not easy to do. I've learned over the years that, you have to spend more and more time on people and the people experience the larger you get, because it gets a lot harder. And you need an infrastructure in place and a lot of different activities and leaders to help drive that. Can't be one person. If you have, like back in the day when I was employee number 14, I had direct access to, partners all the time, and they would nurture, develop, train, bring me along, get involved in different types of activities at a very early age. And now when you've got so many people, you need a lot of individuals contributing to it. So every partner has to have their hand in the huddle. And then you cascade that down, and you've got to get your senior managers, directors, their hands in the huddle. Then you got to cascade that down and so on and so forth, so that the person who's just coming on board, you know, a person right out of college, you know, they have to feel like they're a part of something. And if you don't do that, right, the engagement level goes down. And we've all read all the strategy books out there is that, you know, people eat what culture eats strategy
yep.
for lunch.
Yep.
It's so true. So if you can maximize and achieve the highest levels from a talent perspective and that overall talent experience, I'll tell you, everything else is just, you know, they'll keep all the clients happy.
Well, you know, you talk about the transformation of the firm. Being the 14th employee, there must have been a massive transformation of you, because you can't help others to change unless you've changed as well.
I've experienced a lot over the years. And I would, sometimes my first reaction on change was like, I don't know if this is going to work. This may not be my initial reaction. I don't know about this. And then with good coaching and, you know, thinking it through, you know, I always embraced and adopted change. And, you know, learning over the years of what that is like and helping to communicate that to others has just they listen. They know that you've been there, that you've been through all these different type of changes. I mean, you can't go from, you know, who would have thought, you know, employee number 14 would be running an almost 800-person office and part of a, you know, organization with 12,000 people in the U.S. A lot of the folks, my counterparts across the country, you know, I've developed some just amazing friendships. And I can get our CEO, our CFO, our COO, anybody on the phone, and they'll have a conversation with Chris McKenzie. And it blows my mind, you know, that actually has happened over the years.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, well, I sit back and, you know, I try not to give myself a lot of credit.
Well, that helps, doesn't it? It keeps you hungry.
And genuine. You know,
right.
It is the real deal. Though, someone who's talking to me, you're getting the real me. You're not getting somebody else, someone who's fake or pretends. It is who I am. And you realize this, you know, as you start to get towards the end of the runway from a career standpoint, you know, how important it is to impart this on others. And that sense of stewardship, which is one of our core values at RSM, is so important. And we measure success. Partners at RSM measure success based on the number made while you were a partner.
That's great.
That is great.
You know, and it's to me, that's the number one mantra, is that our job, our responsibility is to develop
leadership
and make room for new partners.
I agree. I call it developing leadership. Now, clearly you brought something that you feel close to. You have three pairs of socks on the desk in front of us. Tell us about the socks.
Well, it's a little bit of a journey here. One that I started a little bit later in my life, and I wish I started a lot earlier. But, you know, it's like these experiences that you have in your life, especially in your family life, have a profound impact on you, you know, as an adult. As you're maturing throughout the years. And given some challenges, all have worked out really well with just raising kids and being aware of, all right, something's not right. What do you do about it? And I'm being honored by the Northeast Arc. It's an organization north of Boston that focuses on, you know, kids, adults, families that have, you know, differently abled members. And having gone through experiences with my children when they were very young and seeing the power of what these organizations do, I sit back and say, well, what if we didn't have awareness around an issue? You know, or if you have an inner city kid that may have single mom who's working three jobs and is unable to spend enough time with the kids. You know, at an early age, I'm talking at like a year, 2 years, 3 years old. If they don't get on the right track and get the right type of help, guess what, man? This is going to be, the outcome is not going to be good. And fortunately, you know, with my wife and I, and, you know, obviously we all pay attention to our kids, the most important things in our lives, is that we had some challenges early on. And that has really, because of those experiences, I get involved with various organizations that help kids, help adults that are just differently abled. And so I had these socks made by one of my friends. It's John Cronin of John's Crazy Socks. You might have seen it throughout, you know, Facebook, and they're just doing so much. And John has Down syndrome. The symbol for Down syndrome is a heart, 3-heart-21. Oh. So that's the extra chromosome that exists in the series of chromosomes, the whole sequence of it, that causes Down syndrome. And I met John. I went down to Long Island. I talked with him and his dad because it's like, it's amazing what his father's doing to create awareness. And I believe everything is about awareness. So with that, and I've also been involved with the Northeast ARC and other organizations that focus, like Special Olympics in Massachusetts, that focused on folks with disabilities. I learned a lot about things like early intervention, occupational therapy for, you know, when you have sensory issues and so forth. And so I had these socks developed. One is really kind of focused where my heart is, and because of the friendships that I've developed, including Colette DeVito of Colette's Cookies. If you hadn't had her cookies, they're amazing. And we do a lot of work as an organization with them, in Boston. And, you know, what else is here is that there's a puzzle piece. And so the puzzle piece is, that's one of the signs for someone on the spectrum. And because I have the impact on that I've seen with my kids and what early intervention, what these organizations can do to help folks become a more meaningful part. And in many cases, you won't even know that they've had some challenges in the past in our society. It's like, but for the grace of God, it could have happened for me, to my kids. And organizations were able to figure out for us the impact or what it could have been like had we not received their help. And today, my two daughters are at Tufts University. So, you know, when you walk a mile through this stuff, or, you know, thousands of miles, and you see what organizations can do to help others, and what the help that you've received as a family, as our family did, your heart's drawn to it. So we have socks made up. We gave a pair to all of our last summer to all of our employees in an offsite event. We picked it up nationally. We just put another order in for 1,000, and we launched this campaign across the firm. And really, it is to create awareness. And so that's, to me, the power of, you know, in my role and
give
what
back.
I do, is how you give back, and then how do you get an organization to give back. And we have lots of activities that are taking place in our office and across the country. But specifically, we're located in Charlestown. Over the past 3 years, our employees have given over $600,000 to organizations in Charlestown that focus on helping kids. Just our office in Boston, which I just find to be remarkable.
It's wonderful.
And RSM in Boston, according to the BBJ, we're the third most generous employees in Boston, compared to all organizations that submit.
That's unbelievable.
Nominations.
And you wouldn't know this, but a tribute to what you're talking about is the fact that Chris couldn't take his eyes off you through the whole interview, because usually he's reading stuff on his laptop.
Who? Well,
Chris. Oh. Chris, our producer, who used to work for Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, and is quite special himself.
Hmm.
And has a heart of gold. And I met him a few years back and brought him
great.
Into the show. And you captured his attention, which says a lot. You've always captured my attention. We've been talking with Chris McKenzie, market managing partner for Massachusetts RSM. Also, Abilities is the socks. If somebody wants to get hold of you or know more about Abilities, how would they find you?
All right. So what we do as an organization, as a firm, we have employee networking groups. And one of our employee networking groups, this is a common thread throughout the entire country, is called Abilities. And it's one that's really near and dear to our local foundation, because this is where, you know, it tugs on your heartstrings. So to get in touch with me, it could be chris.mckenzie, M-A-C-K-E-N-Z-I-E, at rsm.com. My direct dial in my office is 617-241-1222.
Great. I want to thank you for being on the show. It took a long time, but you're always welcome back.
Well, I appreciate being here and your kind words at the very beginning. And, I'm very lucky to be here.
Well, when you say that, we're all lucky to be here, and I know that as a fact. And again, we've had many conversations, but as I said, you're only as good as your client. You're the one, probably an only client, who regularly would say to me, "Can you meet with me at 6:30 in the morning the day before?" And then the night before, you'd say, "Can you make it in at 6? And I would just say, "Sure."
Well, my desire.
You're challenging.
My what gets me out of bed every morning is. One of the principal drivers is giving back.
Wow.
And so I'm up out early, still fighting after, you know, the traffic after all these years, because that's, you know, it gets you out of bed.
Some leaders know how to keep people on their toes. You always had me on my toes. So, you know, it's a tennis term. You know, if you're not on your toes, you're flat footed, you lose the game. So again, this is Radio Entrepreneurs. Boy, are we thankful for Tarlo Breed Hart and Rogers. They're the law firm that sponsors this segment called On the Record. And again, it's all attributable to my co-host, Mark Furman. Thank you, Mark. Thank you very much.
Glad to be with you.
Great.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.